Hi, my name is Z. Welcome to Ports for Docs. And here with me today, I have Adam Jakes. Adam, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you, Z. So I'm Dr. Adam Jakes. I'm a senior registrar in obstetrics and gynecology. I'm very happy to be here.
Adam and I have been really good friends over the many years that we've known each other. Today, we will be discussing the topic reduced fetal movement. So, Adam, let's start off by defining what is reduced fetal movement.
Okay, so most women will experience or be aware of their baby moving by around 18 to 20 weeks. And it may be felt as a kick, a flutter, a swish, or a roll. And this is really the only way of a mother being reassured that their baby is okay on a day-to-day basis. So reduced baby movements has no specific definition other than that the baby has changed its pattern of movement. So that will usually be that a baby may not be moving as frequently, or a reduced strength, or just a change in the pattern which needs further assessment.
Okay. So if a woman starts to feel reduced fetal movements, then what does she do next?
Women can either say, I think, or possibly my baby's not moving right. And if in that case, you can recommend the woman takes themselves away from anything that's distracting. So I normally tell them to leave their partners, turn off the TV, go lie down, lie on the left side, you know, drink something cold, have something sweet to see if they can be reassured by their baby's movements. Because as you can imagine, it's a very subjective feeling and sometimes just that life gets in the way. So if a woman is particularly stressed or distracted, they may not actually be concentrating on a baby's movements. And so if a woman is unsure, I usually recommend they do that to see how they feel. And if after 10 minutes, they're not happy, or if they're sure they're not happy with baby movements, I recommend that they go to their nearest maternity unit for assessment.
All right. So, Adam, before we even discuss about what happens to the mom when she goes into maternity unit, I thought maybe we can just talk about why are we even trying to detect reduced fetal movements? Why is it so important that we know this?
Great question. I mean, as I said, baby's movements are the only way to really know on a day-to-day basis, is baby happy? But we also know that women who have unfortunately gone on to have a stillbirth, 55% of those women actually experienced reduced fetal movements in the weeks prior to the stillbirth. It's also associated with intrauterine growth restriction and smaller babies, because as you can imagine, if a baby is getting reduced oxygen nutrients from a placenta, say in the context of placental insufficiency, a baby wants to try and reserve and preserve all the resources it has. And so it does less somatic movement, which takes up valuable resources and energy. And so a quieter baby may suggest that there is a placental insufficiency, or there may be intrauterine growth restriction, or there may be oligohydramnios, not enough amniotic fluid. And so the baby is vacuum packed.
So let's go back to this. Let's say we have a 28 weeks pregnant woman who comes in, right? And she says, hey, Dr. Adam, I'm quite sure my fetal movements are reduced. I've done what you said. I've sat down. I've lied down for 2 hours. You know what? I've drunk something cold. I've taken something sweet. I still feel that the movements have changed. They're reduced. What do you do next, Adam?
So she comes in saying, hey, Dr. Adam, I seem to know this patient very well. Clearly, we're on good terms. Well, I would say, what are you doing lying on the side for 2 hours? I only need you to lie on the side for the 10, 15 minutes to assess your baby movements. If you've waited 2 hours, then I think you've maybe overweighted. But you come in, and anyone who manages women in pregnancy, you know, the basics are is that a brief history, dip their urine for glucose, infection, and protein, check their observations, including a blood pressure profile. And if she's 28 weeks, we can do a symphysis spindle height to assess whether the predicted size of the uterus is similar to her gestational age. Because this woman's come in with concerns about her baby, we'd also offer a CTG, a cardiotography of the baby, looking at not only the fetal heart rate, but also the fetal heart rate pattern, such as the variability, as well as looking for accelerations, which are related to baby movements and somatic movements of the limbs.
So Adam, I have a quick question to ask you here. You've mentioned that a CTG is one of the first investigations you would do for someone who is 28 weeks pregnant or beyond coming in with reduced fetal movement. Now, is there any role for a handheld Doppler device before you put on a CTG? Because the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the RCOG, does sort of mention this in their guidelines. So I wanted to know, what's your opinion on this?
The gold standard is doing a CTG. And if you can imagine, it depends how your maternity assessment unit is ran. The majority of maternity assessment units have a gold standard for anybody who comes in with reduced fetal movements to be put on the CTG within 10 or 15 minutes. And so there's no need to do a handheld Doppler to assess the fetal heart rate. However, of course, if there's going to be a significant delay, what you want to do is reassure the woman that your baby is still alive.
Yeah.
Therefore, there is a place for auscultating the fetal heart. So in essence, there's no real need in well-run maternity units. However, as you can imagine, it must be very anxiety-provoking as a woman to be concerned about the health of your baby. And so it's essential that as soon as a woman arrives, fetal viability should be confirmed, ideally with a CTG, but if not, do the handheld Doppler.
Yeah, so I'm guessing you're right then, because to put on a CTG is around, 5 minutes, isn't it? And a handheld Doppler would probably just be a few minutes less. But of course, it's still on the RCOG guidelines. In reality, I'm sure you would just crack on with a CTG, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'll be surprised how fast the midwives can whip on a CTG. In essence, a CTG is just turning on a machine, putting two sensors on a woman, one being the Doppler to assess fetal heartbeat and rhythm, and the other one being a tomography to assess for uterine activity. So very quick, less than 5 minutes, I promise you, more like 1 minute.
So I just want to quickly summarize here. For the purpose of exams, if you have a 28-week pregnant woman that presents with reduced fetal movement, and the question is specifically asking you, what do you do next? You're looking for the option with a handheld Doppler, but of course, if that's not in the options, then go for a CTG. Would you do anything different if the woman was less than 28 weeks, and why?
So very good question. So the number of women who actually come in less than 28 weeks with reduced fetal movements is very slim. And it's about risk stratifying the women. You know, so are they smokers? Have they had a previously small baby? Do they have other comorbidities that predispose them to intrauterine growth restriction or problems that you may be cautious about? So the guidelines clearly state that you can put a CTG on past 26 weeks. That's from the Saving Babies Lives Bundle version 2. From 26 weeks, you can use a CTG. And then prior to that, you would just offer handheld Doppler. The other question is, what do you do after that? And so if it is their first presentation of reduced fetal movement, the CTG is fine and there's no other risk factors, then hopefully that woman will be reassured, particularly if their baby continues to move normally or has been reassured by the tracing. If, however, they're not reassured, baby's movements are still not back to normal, or they have other risk factors, high BMI, smoker, older woman, previous, abnormal pregnancies, poor baby outcomes, then you can offer them an ultrasound to assess growth, Dopplers, and fluid.
Is there any role for a biophysical profile? And what is a biophysical profile?
To be blunt with you, Z, biophysical profile has absolutely no place in UK practice and therefore is never the correct answer in an exam. A biophysical profile is where you would do a ultrasound looking at the baby's heart rate, the movement of the chest, the movement of the limbs, the tone of the limbs, and the amniotic fluid level to assess a baby's well-being. However, it has a poor positive and negative predicted value for determining babies at risk of stillbirth and poor fetal outcomes. And so it is not routinely done in the UK.
Amazing, Adam. Well, thank you for bringing us through this topic. It's been a while since I practiced obstetrics. Was there anything else you want to say, Adam?
Just that, you know, if you are not in secondary care, then the key thing is encouraging women to contact their midwife or attend a maternity assessment unit if a woman complains of reduced baby movements. The majority, a huge majority of babies or mothers who complain of changes in baby movements are completely fine. It's just not baby being naughty. But it's essential that we assess all women with this complaint so that we can identify the smaller or babies or the interuterine growth restricted babies or those who are at risk of stillbirth to further assess the fetal well-being.
Well, there you go, Dr. Adam Jakes. For those of you listening who don't already know, Adam and I do a 4-day revision course, which you can find on flabbable.com/course. Thank you very much for joining us. We hope you join us for our next podcast. Till then, bye.